Right. Hello, everyone. I'm Claire. I've been a member of St Mary's for about 7 years now. This is my first time, so please be nice to me. I'm not used to doing this. When I'm not here, I work for Surrey County Council and CAMHS, working with teenagers with mental health issues. So I am much more used to talking to teenagers rather than a group of big, scary adults. But bear with me, okay. Fasting. I'm scared. It would be good. What comes to mind, if I do that, when we think about fasting? Apparently it doesn't mean I can go down to McDonald's. I'm gutted. Take 30 seconds, talk to the people around you. What comes to mind when you think about fasting? I might be asking for volunteers as well, so be prepared. Hey, so do we have anyone that's feeling brave that might want to share some of their thoughts about what fasting is? And Charles will run to you with the microphone. Any brave volunteers?
So yeah, the first thing that came to mind for me was just Jesus when he spent 40 days, 40 yeah. nights in the desert.
Cool, so Jesus did it. Jesus fasted in the desert. Anyone else?
We weren't anything like that holy. We thought of deprivation.
Deprivation. Do you know what? That's what came to mind first with me as well. Don't worry. Okay, so depriving yourself. Jesus was an example. There's lots of different things that come to mind. And for different people, it will mean different things. So for some, the image of thousands or millions of Muslims fasting during the month of Ramadan might come to mind. Or for, like Melody was saying, people that choose to fast intermittently. If you're on the 5-2 diet, I don't know, some of you might be doing that, to lose weight or as a form of, weight loss or sort of food control. It's different. It can bring about feelings of unease, fear, uncertainty. You know, you can say, I'm not doing it, I can't cope without my food or whatever. And, you know, in the Western church, it seems like, this is my experience anyway, fasting seems to have fallen out of favour a bit. We don't talk about it very much. Certainly for me, when I was thinking about this, I think I could only recall maybe one other sermon I've ever heard about fasting in the church. We don't talk about it. We don't do it very much. But actually, looking at it, historically, both in the early church, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the church throughout history, and actually, I think if you look globally around the world now, fasting is something that happens. It's something that people do. And actually, as we're going to find out today, it can be something that can be really powerful. So, what we're going to look at is why Christians fast today, the thought behind it, and I thought, where's the best place to start? Obviously, because we're good Christians. The Bible! So, what does the Bible say about fasting? First thing that came to my mind was Jesus fasting in the desert. He went 40 days without any food, he was tempted right at the beginning of his ministry. And I thought, well, maybe, yeah, is there anything else? And I thought, maybe the early church did it in Acts. But actually, looking through both the Old Testament and the New, we find there's loads of different examples of God's people fasting for different reasons. But actually, we see in that God's really faithful in bringing about results because of it. So thought we'd get the difficult bit done first, and we're going Old Testament, okay? So bear with me. The good bit's coming. There's lots of different examples in the Old Testament of God's people fasting in times of need, when God's intervention is needed for specific situations. In the book of Ezra, we find that God's people, they're coming back home from a period of exile, and they're facing a call back into community and relationship with God. And Ezra calls a fast for all God's people to ask for God's safety on their journey. And sort of at the end of chapter 8 and verse 23, it says, so we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. So that's the first one. God's people as a whole, as a community, they fasted, God listened to them and answered their prayer. Next person that I came across, Esther. We did a series on this recently in church. I wonder how many of you were listening. So in Esther 4, she calls a prayer a period of fasting because all the Jewish people were in need and in danger from Haman's plans to kill them all, an early form of genocide. You know, could have had disastrous effects, but they all prayed. And this is quite an extreme form of fasting because for 3 days they didn't eat and they didn't drink, nothing. And actually God heard them, he remembered them, they were saved. And every year that act of God is remembered by the Jews in the Festival of Purim. Happy days. In Joel chapter 2, there's a passage that says, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows, he may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing. Grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. And then, so he's talking about fasting and praying. And later on in that chapter is the famous bit that Peter uses on the day of Pentecost about God's Spirit being poured out on all people. So there's a link there between fasting and praying and actually God's Spirit coming and bringing refreshing and renewal and bringing change. So we've done the difficult bit with the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Okay, so Luke chapter 4, Jesus did it. This is when Jesus went into the desert. He fasted for 40 days. It actually just does say when he did that, he just didn't eat anything. It didn't say he fasted water, so we assume he did drink while he was doing this. But for 40 days, he ate nothing. That's the first, but Jesus did it. He's our example, isn't he? You know, Jesus did it. Perhaps indicates we might want to look at it too. Matthew 6, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is saying, when you fast, don't look somber like the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others their fasting. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Did you notice those first three words in that bit? When you fast, it doesn't say if you fast. It doesn't say it might be a good idea. It says when you fast. That's challenged me when I was preparing that because it's not something I do much. But I have given it a go with knowing I was going to be talking to you today about this. The assumption seems to be that fasting will be a part of the everyday life of a Christian, of a follower of Jesus. But, however, the warning comes from Jesus there. It's not, fasting itself is not the end result. We're not there to get any praise or kudos for fasting. So that's why he's saying, don't make a big deal out of it. Don't be dramatic. Nobody needs a drama queen. Don't make a big song and dance about it. It's between you and God. It's about your relationship with God, communicating with him and seeking his purposes. We're not going to get some spiritual gold star from fasting. Sorry. But, you know, it's about seeking God and his purposes for us and for his world. Acts 13. There's a couple of episodes in Acts that we could have looked at. Acts 13 is the church, their meeting in Antioch. And it says there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Fasting, it seems, was a common practice for the early Christians, something they did regularly when making big decisions. So when they're sending Barnabas and Saul off to preach the gospel to a new area, It's a way of seeking God's guidance when looking for new leaders and seeking new ventures. This is where I might get into trouble. Sorry, Kate. So a challenge perhaps for us here at St Mary's as we search for a new vicar is, what role does fasting play in our corporate life of prayer and our corporate seeking God's purposes for us as St Mary's, as the church family at St Mary's in Reigate? When I was at uni, I was up in Durham, and in my third year, the church I was at, the vicar left for a new job, and we found ourselves in the position that we're in now here at St Mary's, with, you know, looking for a new vicar. And I really remember clearly, because it's one of the only times I actually remember this being talked about in such a way. And the Sunday before the interviews are happening for the new vicar, one of the church wardens came up and, at the beginning of the service, and said, "Look, everyone knows the interview's coming up. Would you be praying for everyone involved for God's guidance? And if you feel you're able to, would you fast with us for the day? Seek God's face, God's guidance, and God's wisdom for all of those that are involved in the interview process, because this is something that's really important to us. It's a challenge. Don't get me into trouble." And actually, I think people did go ahead and do that, and we got a great vicar out of it. Unfortunately, I was only there for a few months, really, when he was there, because I graduated, but did seem to have some benefits. So that's kind of a really whirlwind tour of the Bible, Old and New Testament, looking at why fast. What does the Bible teach us about fasting? So I wanted to look about, and I've done that wrong. Ah, I hate computers. There we go. Happy days. So why should we fast today? It seems to me, actually, a really big thing in fasting is humility, actually, and remembering who we are and who God is. You know, God's the one that sustains us at the end of the day. You know, we think our food, you know, it's good for us. We're not here in Reigate in 2017 in a position where, for many of us, food's much of an issue. We have enough. We can afford to go to Morrison's every day and get our food and whatever. And actually, you know, we can be quite self-sufficient. And actually, fasting for me, it seems, is an act of humility before God, recognising that he should be the one that sustains us. He's the one that gives us our source of power and authority in the world. And, you know, he sustains us. It can be a way of seeking God's purposes, both individually for our own lives, within family life, within our church life, and for our nation. You know, there are examples when Jesus spent time in the desert, fasting and praying, like we said at the beginning of his ministry, in the early church, in Acts. They fasted, they prayed for people. Can you notice it's always fasting and praying together? It's not something you do if you just fast on your own. It's just starving yourself. But fasting with prayer, fasting with worship, it has effects. It has a bit more power in there. Paul, in Acts 9, after he's had his dramatic experience with meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus, it says he doesn't eat anything or drink anything for 3 days until God sends Ananias to him to confirm God's calling on Paul for his ministry. And look at all the impact that he's had. So, yeah, seeking God's purposes for our lives. And for some people, and for some times, it might be for a very specific time and purpose. So it might be for us at the moment when we're looking for a new vicar. For Esther and the Jewish people at that time, it was to save themselves. Say, actually, God, we can't do this on our own. Help us, please. And some questions that came to mind as I was thinking about this and I was praying for this. And I did actually one day try fasting. It was really difficult. I'm not going to lie. And I was praying and I thought, God, what do you want to say to us here today as a church? And there's two questions that came through really strongly. One of them was, who are we relying on? Who are we relying on individually as a church? Are we thinking, oh, Kate and Helen, they're great. They're so in control. Kate's shaking her head. It's all the front, apparently. No. But actually, can we just leave it all to Kate and Helen? No. You know, God ultimately is our sustainer. He was the one that provides us with his spirit to give us all that we need to do that. I think now more than ever, we really need to remember that God's our sustainer. He's the one that we can rely on and the one that will guide us. The second question, I've lost my place, here we go, that came through really, really, really strongly for me. So what are we hungry for? What are we hungry? I'm not saying what are you having for dinner when you get home tonight. What do you want to see God doing in your life? What do you want to see God doing in this church? What are we hungry to see God doing in our community? Okay, it's big questions. Naturally, fasting has a place to part to play in that, working that out and saying, actually, let's focus on God. What's God's purposes for our lives, our communities, our families? Yeah, Jesus was free to proclaim God's kingdom coming because he knew who sustained him and he knew who his true fulfillment came from. He spent 40 days fasting in the desert, sustained by God, and came out in the power of the Spirit. And the later bits of Luke chapter 4, when he's come out of the desert, it says he comes out in the power of the Holy Spirit. He goes back to Galilee, and he goes to the synagogue, and he apparently has time to read in the synagogue. And he's given the scroll to read, and it's a bit from Isaiah. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news for the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. I don't know if that sounds familiar. Part of that was from the reading we had at the start from Isaiah 58. Most of it's from Isaiah 61, though. But it's all talking about, you know, he spent that time just before that, praying, fasting, seeking God's word for that time. And he came out knowing exactly what God wanted him to do, and actually used to bring freedom. And, yeah, God's heart, I think, so much is to bring freedom to our lives, into our community. It's not just something that happened 2,000 years ago. It's something that happens today. It's something that can happen to us. Not like the nice stories that you hear at New Wine or something. It can happen to everyone here. And, you know, he can bring freedom to all of us, into our communities, to bring hope where there is none, to bring healing, to bring refreshing. And I just think in these, like, the days we live in at the moment, watching the news at the moment, I get really depressed. I'm like, you know, you've got white supremacy, Donald Trump, what's going on, ISIS. Is God calling us back as his church to a time of corporate prayer and fasting to seek his face, to seek his will for our community, our church, his world? I don't know. I'm asking a lot of questions, aren't I, that I don't have the answers to. So that's all the big stuff. Practicalities, of course. Practicalities we love. There's different types of fast. There's the just fasting from food like Jesus did, but still drinking water. There's an absolute fast like Esther did. No food, no water. That will be time limited, just for a few days and for a real specific need, something that's urgent. And then one thing I haven't talked about is Daniel's fast, where he only ate fruit and veg. I don't know if you're familiar with that. I think doing a little bit of Google searching, so not the most accurate, but still, bear with. It's basically, I think it was a lot like a vegan diet. And he was doing that at the time when he was serving in Nebuchadnezzar's court. They're in exile again in Babylon. And actually, it was his way of keeping himself pure, to sort of keep himself focused on God without getting distracted by all the rich foods and wines and stuff that was around. That's like an example of a partial fast. Something that we might do today might be giving up Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, tea. These are all things that I need to give up. But so we might do that. And how do we fast? Well, how do we do it? The real practicalities. Do it with Jesus. If you're just giving up food just for the sake of it, you're just starving yourself. A couple of weeks ago at work, we had a young person in. The way we work is we take people for very short periods of time for like crisis support, respite, if they're, you know, in a bit of a sticky place, but not quite ill enough for hospital, we can have them for short periods of time. We had one young lady in who took great pleasure in telling us how many days she'd gone without eating. She's like, Claire, I've been 10 days without eating. I've not eaten anything. And I remember saying to her, I was like, it's not good really to starve yourself like that, is it? Your body needs the food and you need to have something in there. She's like, I'm like Gandhi. Gandhi didn't eat anything. I was like, oh, great. Thanks, Gandhi, you know. And we talked about it, and actually she did start eating a bit. And, you know, it's all about motivation, isn't it? If you're doing it just to deny yourself and see how long you can do it, you probably need help. Just saying. Learn to walk before you can run. Don't go straight into a 100-day fast with nothing. It's not going to work. It's really not. It might be that you start doing, like, just miss one meal. Over that time when you're practicing, you would be preparing that meal, you might pray. Gradually build up. Yeah. We like, you know, don't set unreal expectations. Don't make a big deal out of it. Don't tell everyone you're fasting. Because it's not to get brownie points for other people, is it? And then the last one, recognise the spiritual side of fasting. You know, like we said, like so many of these times, the examples in the Bible, everyone actually, I think, that we've talked about, when they fasted, they prayed, they worshipped, they studied scripture. You know, there's a spiritual side to fasting. You know, when in Ephesians 6, where we're taught to put the whole armour of Christ on, and you know, you've got the sword, you've got the word of God, you've got worship, you've got prayer. It's all interlinked. It's all part of the bigger picture. We can't just take one thing on its own. Yeah, and fasting's part of that toolkit, that armour that God gives us to be his ambassadors in the world. And, you know, it's powerful, I believe, and it can bring about change. It can bring about God's kingdom coming in our lives and in our towns. And through all the examples set out in the Bible, we can see that God's able to use our fasting powerfully to bring out social justice, to bring change. We talked about the passage from Isaiah, talked about breaking chains, bringing freedom. Jesus talks about it as well. And, you know, God, he's much bigger than us. He's our sustainer. He's our provider. All of that, you know, you can go on and on talking about who Jesus is, who God is. And actually, I think fasting is about putting that into perspective. Have I got anything else there? Oh, yeah. Oh. Remembering who God is in our lives, the role he plays in our lives. And actually, you know, I think if we tried it out a bit more, we might be surprised with what happens. So it feels like there's so much to learn about fasting. And perhaps there's loads more that God would want to say to us through the subject. We've seen that God's someone who loves to interact with his people and bring about answers to prayer when we truly humble ourselves before God. Yeah, it's a lot to take in, a lot of questions. I don't pretend to be an expert, I'm not. I'm learning as well. But the band's going to come up in a sec. And up on the screen, I'm going to put up a couple of questions. Okay, and just with those around you, you can do it on your own if you feel more comfortable with that. I'm going to pray for us. And it'd be really good to spend a little bit of time, either on your own or with those around you, just praying. Thinking about how we can put that into practice. Is God calling us to fast for anything specific? Is there anything we can learn from that? And there's lots that we could be praying for. Beth talked about that in the prayers of all that's going on in the world. What role does fasting play in our lives? Are we being called to fast? Are we being called to fast, not necessarily from food, because for some people actually fasting from food won't be very helpful, and if you know you've got an issue with that, don't try it, because, you know, don't want to cause anyone any harm. But what role does fasting of any kind play in our lives? Where do we need God's freedom in our lives? Where is God's freedom needed in Reigate, in our communities? And finally, where is God's freedom and free purposes needed in the world? So I'm going to pray. We're all going to pray. And then we'll worship. Father God, I thank you that we can look at fasting. I thank you that you've put fasting into our lives to give us something to focus on and to humble ourselves before you. I pray that each one of us will take something away from this tonight and put that into practice in our own lives. Amen.